Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and fathered a son in his own likeness according to his image. And he called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he fathered Seth, were 800 years. And he fathered sons and daughters. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years. He died. Seth lived 105 years and fathered Enos. And after he fathered Enos, Seth lived 807 years. He fathered sons and daughters. All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enos lived 90 years and fathered Canaan. After he fathered Canaan, Enos lived 815 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. All the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and fathered Mahalalel. And after he fathered Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years. He fathered sons and daughters. All the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and fathered Yared. And after he fathered Yared, Mahalalel lived 830 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. All the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Yared lived 162 years and fathered Enoch. And after he had fathered Enoch, Yared lived 800 years. He fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Yared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God 300 years after he fathered Methuselah. He fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and fathered Lamech. After he fathered Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years. He fathered sons and daughters. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and fathered a son. After he called his name Noah, saying, "This one shall comfort us concerning the work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he fathered Noah, Lamech lived 595 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. All the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Enoch lived 500 years. Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
What do you think about this chapter? What are your thoughts?
Middle age used to be a lot older.
Older, okay.
They waited all. Unless, if every single one of these people mentioned are the first son of the previous person that's mentioned, it implies that they waited an awfully long time to have children.
That's why they live longer. The men, not the women.
Any other comments?
Another very methodical presentation.
I'm sorry, what?
It's another very methodical presentation, just like the kind of structure that you saw in Genesis chapter 1. You know? Very formulaic in how it's presented.
How it's presented. Yes?
Some of these lived and then they had more sons and daughters, but it always makes me wonder, because after the fall, a woman's ability to conceive and have many children was increased. over whatever it had been previously. It says multiply her conceptions and her pain.
Her sorrow.
But Noah only had three kids. These people lived to be 400, 500, and 600 years old anyway. And they had three children. How'd they do that? That amazes me. Always does. Going to have the answer someday.
I think maybe one of the reasons is that I noticed the pattern is that most of these patriarchs had that, at least whatever son is the one mentioned, I don't know, if that's the firstborn son, they did wait an awfully long time, but even if that's not the firstborn son that is mentioned, if it's just the most important son, let's say. But let's pretend it's a firstborn son. Most of the patriarchs mentioned had their first son before their 200th birthday. You know, you see anywhere from 65 to 180 years or something like that. Noah waited until he was 500. If Shem is the first, he waited until he was 500 years old. That might be why he only had three.
But all the other kids had to die then.
Well, the thing I would is this is specifically following the godly line.
Right.
And so, because it also says Adam had many more children in his 800 years, but it only mentions Seth, because he is.
With that, if they say other sons.
You know, and it could be the very same with Noah and them. That, I mean, it's all speculatory, but. I mean, you're talking a huge, you know, a gross population at this time. At the time of Noah, you know, all of the, you know, there's a very corrupt, large population on the earth. They didn't just come from nowhere. I mean,
well, no, they would have, but and some of them it says that, but it doesn't say that with Noah.
It doesn't say they had any more.
It could have been really ugly.
No, but you know what else?
Died.
You know what else? It, particularly in this chapter, it doesn't say that Adam had any before Seth.
All right.
He had daughters.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You know, every single one of these men that's mentioned, we don't know if that's the firstborn of that prior person. We just know that they're the important one. Yeah.
Okay. We will hit those subject matters of the importance of their why they are named when we reach the sixth chapter. All right, I'm not going to cover the sixth chapter today, but I do need to. I hear in your statements, and I think it's very fascinating. So, what else beside all the how old they were and all that kind of stuff and. What does this tell you, if anything?
I was going to say something else. I was going to point out the prophecy.
Oh. Which one?
The one that talks about Noah, where he will comfort us concerning our
There's a prophecy
Lord.
Before him, two or three, maybe four. We'll talk about those prophecies in this particular chapter. All right, now these men were named because of a certain thing. They have certain names that tells you, identifies what is the event that is taking place and why they were named what they were named. Yes, these are prominent men. They were well known. They weren't just an average, ordinary guy. Remember, they had sons and daughters, but we're going to talk about one of the sons. At least one of these, they are the predominant one who is going to let us know, because God has put these names in there, for these are the names that we should pay attention to. Do you remember that back in the book of Jude, I think it's the book of Jude, that there is eight from Adam. And these names are listed here. And I won't go back to that area, but what we're seeing when you look at these names, they're going to tell you a sequence of events. And there were eight righteous up to Adam. Not just, you know. So each one of these men, we will not go on that today. But I do want you to keep this part in mind. These men had a dent in the history prior to the flood. What they did, how they lived, how they acted, and how they walked, it will tell you. All right? Now, remember the fourth chapter had to do with the line of Cain, right? All right. And we went through that in pretty much overall detail, but not in depth. But you have a picture of the line of Cain. Now, I want to go into tell you a few things first. How many times have you heard that Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4 are just stories and fables? How many times have you heard they're not true? They're just stories. Hundreds of times you've heard that, right?
Well, that's they said about the whole Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we're talking right here now, the book of Genesis, right here, because this chapter, verse 1 of chapter 5, is considered by many Jewish scholars as the true beginning. And the rest were just fables. Because Cain is not mentioned here, nor is Abel mentioned here. In fact, Abel is only mentioned in one chapter in all of the Tanakh. Cain is only mentioned in two chapters, or one chapter rather, in all of the Tanakh. So they consider those stories not true. It's just a story that has no real significant bearing and has no meaning. And so they throw it and they cast it out. I'm not saying all Jewish scholars do this. But in the Christian world, when a scholar looks at these things, they see the Jewish point of view. They say, well, yeah, that makes sense. Because it makes Garden of Eden kind of stupid. Doesn't it? Talking to a snake? Really a dumb story. Right? So you can kind of cast it out. That never really took place. That never really happened. It's just a fable. And if you go into an awful lot of the what called the Jewish fables, the Adam and Eve is considered a fable. Yes?
Well, I guess you can toss out dumb things like talking to a bush, talking to a donkey, talking to a rock.
Yeah. Right.
Kind of alive after you're dead.
Yeah. Water on rocks.
So, we are here today to look at this thing and say, okay, what is the story behind the story? I hope no one in this room considers the first chapter a fable, or second chapter a fable, or third or fourth. If you do, you might as well go someplace else. But I do want to bring this out because it's very, very important that we pay attention. And I'm going to bring up some history here, or not history, but some words. Because, and the very interesting here, that we have a line now, starting with not Cain nor Abel. But a line, as we've heard it, it's called the line of, what would you call it, line of God? Righteous God?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get into that and why it's called that. Well, let me ask you a question. Why is it called the godly line?
Because it is through them comes the promise.
Right. The Messiah goes all the way back to Seth. Now, so we're going to look at this name. Because Seth was just not a being. He was a very important one. All right. Now let's take a look. So we have a little bit. We'll go back to him in a little bit. I want to go, first of all, backwards to a little bit. Let's go to Genesis, the fourth chapter. All right, I want you to listen very carefully to what is being said. Because we're certain words are being used here, which I will clarify when we get into the next chapter. All right? Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and called his name Seth. This is the wrong, not how it's pronounced, though. For God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel. Not another seed instead of Cain, who was cast out, but another one to do something, and she called his name Seth, and she has a definition here, and to Seth, she calls it the, for God has appointed me another. So that's why he called her, or this is what your definition is. We're going to look into his name, because he's very prominent, very important in the history of our lives, because the Messiah goes all the way back to him. Right? So you have to kind of look at the Seth. This is Shem. So it should be not be Seth, but Sheth. Or Sheth. Okay, so it's a shin rather than a sin. Starts with a shin. I pronounced it wrong. Now, verse 26. And to Seth, or Sheth, to him were also born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began man to call upon the name of Yahweh. Now, we'll get to that explanation in the sixth chapter. I want you to pay attention to that. That's the end, the last verse, the very last verse in the fourth chapter. It's very important to pay attention to this. So this has a direct connection to whom? Seth or Sheth. This man, when he was born, now he becomes prominent and he becomes well known because he does something in association with a name. Do you understand what that means? He was a prophet. Now back to Genesis chapter 6, chapter 5. And Sheth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. Before we get there, look at the word Sheth, which really means in Hebrew, very fascinating verse, used quite often. It means to put in place of, a substitute. So when we have that in your translation where it says she's appointed, called her appointed, in a sense, he was the substitution. He took the place that Abel had. What does Scripture say about Abel in the New Testament? He was a righteous man. So now we have this man, Sheth, who is now taking the place of Abel. That puts him as a righteous man, correct? He's taking the place. He's taking the very same position. If, quote, Abel had lived, quote, we would have the line of Abel. But we don't. Now, this is very fascinating. Pay attention to this thing. I find it very fascinating. The verb form is to place, or to place, or to apply, or to appoint. That's why I have that word appoint. It's to put, also can mean to put hands upon. To put hands upon. Now, why would you think that should have that put hands upon?
Because when somebody was sent out, you're going in place, the tradition was you would have the laying on of hands because you're conferring authority, you're conferring your it's like they go in place of you.
Right, now they are in charge, right? So in a sense, we have this Seth who has now been not only just in place of, but also has been appointed, even though, now listen, Eve is a prophetess. She knew what it was all about. Now, the one that will deliver us out of and get us back into the garden, into Eden, is going to be this one that's been appointed now. This one took over the place of Abel because Cain didn't fulfill it, right? And he killed Abel, who was a righteous man. And now, she says, now it's going to go through this one because he gave a promise to Eve. What was God gave a promise? Your seed in you will kill the snake, the serpent. You understand what I'm saying so far? The name Seth is a very fascinating name. And there's a couple of places, I don't have to turn there, but the verb form, to set in place or put hands on or to put a station or to be appointed. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. What? Who were they talking about? Joseph. So Joseph was set in place. Okay? He was appointed, in this case, by God, although it looked like Pharaoh was doing it. And same thing when Eve, when she named him this in the fourth chapter, it assumes that she did it. No. He has appointed now Seth in place of Abel, referring to God has done it. Yes, Ellie.
In my Hebrew here, it says Vayahi Shet.
Vayahi.
That is the word you're talking about?
I'm sorry, what?
Is that the word you're talking about? The setting apart?
Oh. Where have I hit? It's, no. It's a shin?
No, it's at the beginning of verse 6. It has Vav Yod.
Yod,
and then it's
Dash Shep. Oh, that's the Bob that has and. Okay, you're going there, and it says and Seth. Okay, you're talking about and Seth. You're the man's name.
Yeah, that is and lived.
And live Seth 100. That's all that's telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have a name that we understand a little bit, don't we? It's not an ordinary name. It's not a name that kind of just kind of dropped out of the sky. It was a name that she figured out, well, you know, this would replace this Abel. No, she knew what it meant. Remember, Eve was not a dumb lady. And we sometimes in our past, we look at the past, we consider one of the dumbest ladies in the face of the earth was Eve. We don't look at her as being the most brilliant. Because you know why? She believed God. She believed him. You talk a woman had faith. Eve was one that had faith. Tremendous amount. Because he also said to her, Genesis 3 verse 15, and I will put an enmity between you and the woman. See, she knew. There's going to be someone's going to be there and it's going to destroy. Because she couldn't do it. Adam couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. Nobody could crush the head. Only one person. And she says it's one of her seeds. She knew. And all the days of Noah, let's go back to finishing here, chapter first, verse 9. And Enosh, that's the next son, lived 90 years and begot Cainan. And Enosh lived after he begot Cainan 815 years, and begot sons and daughters. Now, Enosh, as we do next week, I will try to put these names in logical order. And when you see their names, we'll do it today. There's a pattern in their names. It's going to lead you to a certain place. Very, very fascinating to pay attention to the names and what they mean. Enosh. It just means mortal man. Simplicity of the word just means mortal man. Now he had a son, and it's Cainan. Cainan. Not Canaan. Cainan. Okay? Cainan. Not the same as Canaan. Different word. Keep that part in mind. Cainan. And his name just means that which is fixed. that which is solid, that which is firm. So now we see that this individual is now one of the firm, dedicated, and knowledgeable. He's fixed in place. And he's fixed in place, and his father's name was Enosh. Mean, as an individual, a man, strong man. Remember, what was the nickname of Moses? You remember the nickname Moses was? Oh my. The man, Moses. So they called him the man. You know, we use those words today, have no idea where that phrase comes from, and it comes right out of the Tanakh, and all association with the man, meaning Moses. And then there's another one that says the son of man. Right? We know who that one is, don't we?
So Moses has been keeping the black man down?
Well, Ezekiel was the original son of man.
I'm sorry, what?
Ezekiel. Original, quote, son of man. That was his title.
So we have these interesting terminologies we learn. Okay. Now, interesting here, the next son is Mahael. And Mahael lived 65 years, and he begat Jarud. Mahael. What do you think Mahael means? Prominent individual now. It's just not just a name that's thrown out there. This man did something. This man was noted for doing something. Most of them got their names because of what they did, not because somebody named them. Most of the time, they got their name from what they did. What did he do?
He's a leader.
Praise God.
Praise God. Okay. So simplicity of the word is praise El. Now, that's a different kind of praise now. Not the kind of praise we're thinking, praise. Okay? This praise means more of the kind of the word fame. He made God's name famous. Fame. It's a very rarely used word. It's not used very often. But I want you to go to Proverbs, 27th chapter, and verse 21. And think of it in the word of fame or being famous. You know what said about the Messiah? His fame went throughout all the world, right? His name was well known. His deeds were well known. He was well known. His functions were well known, and this particular person let God be well known. All right? And it says there, the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold. Kind of two unusual words, right?
What was the passage
again? 20, Proverbs 27, verse 21. And of course, yours will have. So is the man to his praise. Well, so is the man to his fame. So it's a different kind of word, isn't it? Fame. You know what makes a person famous? That's where fame comes from, right?
What he does.
What he does. He's known by what he does. His fame. What he's famous for. In this particular case, this man was famous for what?
Trying to make God famous.
Making God famous. You understand what I'm saying? See, names have a perfect meaning, and they help us a little bit to understand. These were, as you said, the line of the righteous. Because it started out with Abel. Yes?
So could you say that he was the first Billy Graham, the first evangelist, the first...
Could very well be. Okay. That's funny. But the way of putting it, yeah. Now he had a son. His son was named what?
Jared.
Jared, yes. Bill Jared, no. We all know him. Jared. Jared. It's funny. His name means what? In a sense, it means to descend. Oh, wow. Descend. What an odd name to have a name calling descend. Sound like he's going downhill, doesn't it?
That's what
Jordan
means.
That's what Jordan means. That's what Jordan means, yes. Descend. To go down, to descend, to decline. Now, all of a sudden, it sounds like, what are we talking about here?
Pastor's kid.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, stop. When we, as individuals, if we pray to God, what do? We descend, we go down, we prostrate ourselves downward to the God. Yes.
Another one of the roots talks about to lay low or to throw like an arrow.
Right.
Or to point a finger, to teach.
Correct.
To cast and inform and instruct, that kind of thing.
That kind of thing. It's got a lot of meanings within this word. So you don't, it is not a word saying this guy was downtrodden or he was low person. He was a great person. He knocked down and went down. No. It has to do with a very, very powerful thing of being. Being to go down, to descend, and to decline, to lower oneself to a position that is less than.
Humble.
Humbleness. It's an odd word or off clarification, but you remember the very famous statement. When God talked to Moses, he says, I'm going to descend downward to see what's going on. He actually descended down. When the Lord comes down, he doesn't rise up, does he? He goes down to see what's going on. So that's what that word, the verb of, means to descend. Whenever you have God coming down from above, those angels descending down, same kind of word. Coming down, declining, coming down, to find out what's going on. But so it helped me a little interesting here about this name, isn't it? These are all positive names, by the way, because it's of the line of what?
The righteous.
Yes.
Yeah, since of that word can also mean descent.
Descent.
Since his father was, basically making God famous, perhaps it was a chip off the old block.
Oh, these are very positive men. Okay, but grant you, I don't think they were the firstborn. I think they were very dominant men in that line. And that's what house God always works with, the dominant men, the dominant leaders in a line. He doesn't deal with firstborn, secondborn, third. He just does the one that's going to do his will.
Well, because Abel was not firstborn.
He was not the firstborn. But he was righteous. Okay, now of course, Enos lived for what? Here goes Enos, lived 600 some odd years. You know, Enos is his really name, if you're not Enos, is Hanok. Hanok, I don't know why they have E in front. Should be a real powerful C or powerful K, CH sound in there rather than an E. Enoch. You know what his name means? Kind of funny.
Gracious?
No, not exactly.
Favored?
In the simplicity of the matter, it means discipline. Making something important. At the very beginning, Enos was the one that walked with God, right?
Not metaphorically speaking, either.
No. It has a definition of verb is to train, to discipline, and to inaugurate. Unusual name for a man, isn't it? What do you think he was doing? Very prominent man. I mean, he's mentioned quite often, isn't he?
He's teaching.
Discipline. What discipline means? To teach. That's all it means. When you discipline a child, you're doing it to teach them. Right? It's not punishment. Discipline is not punishment. Discipline is teaching.
Like the word disciple.
Like the word disciple. Discipline, disciple, same word. So basically we have that name to begin with. I'll go a little farther than this. Because Enoch was one of those weird ones, right? What does it say about him? Well, what verse was that? Did I miss it?
24.
24. Okay, I got to turn the page then. Oh, my. No, yes. Enoch walked with God, and he not, for God took him. Huh? What does that mean?
He was translated. Yes,
nobody knows where he's buried.
Any other comments? We'll have to go to Hebrews to explain a little bit on this one, don't we? But before we go there, we're going to stick here with Hebrew for a minute. All right. We'll start with the word, in the latter part of it, for God took him. We'll talk about that word first, took.
Lakach.
Yes. Took. Lakach.
Yeah,
it says, basically it means taking, accepting, bringing, carrying away, whatever it is, to fetch, to hold on to get a hold of, to take to or for a person, persuade, get, take possession of, seek, or select, rather, choose, take in marriage, or so on and so forth, all that. So you're taking something. So God has took him. What did he take him to, if he took him? I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry. I missed that.
Well, he didn't. He wouldn't have taken him to heaven because two reasons. Because no one has ascended into heaven except for my father. No,
except for the son.
Except for the son. And in Hebrews 11, it says, these all died.
Okay, everything's, we're just going to look at Hebrews for a moment. Look very carefully at verse 23.
What chapter?
No. Hebrews. Genesis. Go back ahead of Genesis first. Hebrews 5, chapter. Hebrews 5, 23rd chapter.
Hebrews 5?
I'm sorry.
Genesis
5.
Okay.
I'm going to jump to Hebrews real quick here. My mind's on Hebrews, and I've got to get to this one first. What does it say?
Days of Enoch were
365.
Who knows that?
The guy who wrote it down.
The guy who wrote it down. All right, so now we're going to have some clarification here if we can get to where that other phrase, which it says.
He didn't even get middle-aged.
Well, not
right. He was a young man.
He was the youngest of them all. And he fathered the oldest of them all. Quite radically different between the two, isn't it? Now, we're going to go into and he not. The unusual phrase. But first, we have to take a look. It says there that God walked, Enoch walked with God. It's presented here, in a sense, twice. Did you notice it was done twice? Did you know it was recorded twice? Huh?
22 and 23.
He walked with God, verse 22. And in 24, he walked with God. Now, why is it listed twice? Have you ever thought about that? Now, see, we think, oh, it's just repeating itself. Yes.
Does the second reference have to do with God taking him?
You got it. Has to do with God taking him. All right, now we're gonna get this to a point. The reason why God, in a sense, didn't take him where you thought he took him, but he did remove him from the scene. And the object why it's repeated twice is to let us know that how Enoch died was not because he was a sinner. The reason why he died is not because he was a sinner. He was a righteous man. He walked with God in the very beginning. And at his end of his life, he walked with God. From the beginning to the end. So there is not a man full of sin and transgressions and iniquities. Now, Enoch knew an awful lot. Because we'll get to Hebrews here in a minute. One of the most famous men that's overlooked. But you understand what I'm saying? These names in that line are very prominent names. They're names that have meaning, have purpose, and they actually have a prophetic statement within them as we keep on going. All right? So, one more thing. And there, it says this, another Hebrew phrase, it says, and not, it says, and he was no more. In other words, and he was not there, he was no more found, he no longer ceased to be. What that has to do is saying that, yes, he died, but not in the normal fashion. All the other ones say, and he died, and he died, and he died. This one didn't say that. He died unexpectedly, or far sooner than the rest. His youngest one of the bunch. Just a kid. Just a kid.
Teenager.
Maybe a teenager, yes.
Have you read the Scroll of Enoch at all?
No. That I don't think is from this one. That's a different. That's my personal opinion, but that's my thinking.
Much later, but using
the different. It's a different Enoch, not this one. But I want to go back here now to say one more story before we go. For God took him refers to a premature death. He died before the flood came. The others died in the flood.
Judgment.
Even the righteous men, his father died in the flood. His son died in the flood. And his grandson died, did not die in the flood. Yes?
I've seen charts where people try to map out, you know, like with this, you know, when Adam was born, when Seth was
right.
born. The only one that I've ever seen on those charts who probably died in the flood or just before it was Methuselah.
Right.
The rest of them died before the flood when they've seen these charts. They've all died before the flood, except maybe Methuselah might be the exception.
There is, okay, there's different charts. The charts I saw is that they probably, all a lot of them died at that point, at the flood. Methuselah.
Based on the chart, I've seen every one of them died before.
Well, some charts, it depends upon who put the charts there, whether the Jews put the charts there, or Christians put the charts there.
Both.
I've not seen that. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to finish with it. Now, Enoch's years recorded. Someone must have recorded the 365 years. I assume it would have been, I'm assuming it had been Noah.
Yeah.
Who else lived past the flood to record all that stuff? Who else wrote down anything? We have no record from anybody unless Noah wrote it down. Or maybe members of his family, one of his sons, or his wife, or his daughter-in-laws, whoever keeps a record, someone kept their guess.
The manuscripts hammered out on the ark.
On the ark.
We have to do something while he was stuck on the ark.
Yeah, that's going to be a great pastime in the ark, yeah.
All right.
All
right. I want to finish this chapter, and we'll go to Hebrews in a minute. The next son is Methuselah. That's a lot, really unusual name. In Hebrew, it just means the man of the dart, or man of the weapon, or man of the infernal river. All those phrases have to do with the name Methuselah. He faced, in a sense, the weapon, which was the flood. He faced, what's the sense, the eternal or infernal river, the one that came and took everybody away. And there's an old meaning, it used to mean the man, this is the man, when he ends, the end. When he dies, the end, meaning the end of that world that once existed.
Now, and he had a son named Lamech, which we already know what that means. One that is strong or powerful. All that word means a powerful individual, a strong individual. It's in the right lane, unlike the one that was in the Cain, which was a negative one. This one's in the right lane, a powerful one, in a sense, before God. Now, Methuselah's name has a very significant meaning, and so does this one. But I want you to pay attention to Lamech's words. What did he say? He had a son. He named his son something.
Noah.
Why do you think he named his son Noah?
This guy will get us out underneath this problem.
God obviously showed him something or told him something about him.
See, so the word of God is passing from one, from Seth, all the way down to Lamech, where he knew, they knew, this was going to be the end. This is the one that's going to deliver us, even though he was going to die, mankind, out of this horrible wretch that we have. The ground was cursed, right? Now the ground will no longer be cursed. We'll get to that later. And of course, Noah. What does the name Noah mean?
Comfort.
Sorry, what?
Comfort.
Comfort. Peace, shalom, quietness, Noah.
Long live. Say it.
Long live. But it said peace. The earth was to be at peace during his lifetime. Now, had to have a major what? Now, what does it kind of tell you in the future? We are going to have a major catastrophe. And after it's finished, then there is Noah. There is peace. There's tranquility.
Or you can look at it in a different way, is that through the midst of the mess, you have peace and tranquility.
Yes. You can look at that.
All those that were with Noah were just preserved from the mess.
But they weren't peace and tranquil. All their loved ones.
No, we're just talking about the name Noah. We're talking about just the name of Noah, what it means, and what's going to transpire. The first world was destroyed, and man was named one of peace and calm. Now, the second world is going to be destroyed. Now, we don't know the name of the Messiah, because he's going to have a new name. We have no idea what it's going to be. And he says, I have a new name that no one knows in the book of Revelations. It's going to have a different meaning. It's not going to be Yahshua. But I'd say it's because it's already done. It's already over with. It's going to be another name. We don't know what it's going to be. I'm not going to play games with what it could be. Because it's stupid, because no one knows, right? No one knows except him. So, with that in mind, it's very funny. I want to make one more comment here, then I'll go into Hebrews. Ooh, I got to do it quick. Note, it's interesting that the ages of the line of Adam to Noah via Seth is listed, but the ages of the line of Adam to Lamech via Cain is not recorded. Did you notice that?
This is from Cain forward.
We don't know how old Cain was. We don't know how old any of his ancestors were. There's nothing 300, 400, 500 years old. They don't even mention, like, they don't exist. But these exist for a reason, for a purpose. The ages and the time is very critical. I don't fully understand it, to be honest with you, why their names and age are listed. But it's there, yes.
Well, if Noah or his family recorded this history for us, he would have known the line of his own family, but he wouldn't have known the line of Cain's family.
True, but what I'm saying,
you know, to the point of knowing
someone had to write down that story of Cain.
Yeah, well, he probably knew their names and that kind of thing, but he didn't know the story intimately, right. So he wouldn't have known their ages.
Well, we could say that, but I think with God's wisdom, he left their ages
out.
God didn't want their name. He didn't want their ages. He didn't want you to be have. He said their life as if it never existed. These guys lived it long.
Yeah. Well, because if for the future reader, if you put an ungodly man with a long life, it says something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Says something very powerful.
Yeah, because even you know, Solomon in Ecclesiastes struggles with that. You know, you've got people who are evil, you've got people who are good, and the evil man will prosper and the good man will suffer. So, you know, it's one of those things that you have to wrestle with and trust God even in spite of it.
In spite of it, right. Yes, Ellie, I want to get to.
Somebody wrote me, a book recently that said we have 10,000 years of human history.
Oh, yes.
And all these are written down to me, not because it's boring to read the times, but because if you could, like Kenny said, there are charts that lay this out. And even if you lose or gain 1 year in the half years in between, you've lost maybe 20. You're off maybe 20 years. You're not off 20,000 years. You've still got a line. You have to have something to count.
Okay, real quick, Hebrews 11th chapter.
Hebrews 11.
It's called the faith chapter. I hope I can get this thing. I got... Who's supposed to speak next? You? I seem to run over time. Actually, I don't know if I got over time or not, but... Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he was he had this testimony that he pleased God. We got double testimony. We saw it written twice, right? Okay. Now, I don't know what the average Christian thinking is on this phrase, except they believe he went to heaven. So I guess that's the basic thumb he's translated. Well, we have to look at that word, Hebrew Greek word for translation. And basically it means to be transported, to exchange, to change sides, to pervert. Let's go on to where you might find it. In Acts chapter 7, verse 11, same word. Acts chapter 7, verse 15, brother. Jacob went down into Egypt and died, and he and his father, and verse 16, and they were carried over. That word carried over is same word as being translated. Now, so what does that tell you? He was actually removed from someplace and went someplace else. That's what the first thought is, and most of the first thought is he went to heaven. Okay, so we got that part. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, don't turn there. The priesthood being changed, there's that same Greek word. So the Hebrew says that the priest being translated, there was made a necessity for the change also in the law. Now, does that make, that translation makes a lot of strange word? We're looking at a Greek word here for a moment to understand. Book of Jude. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, translating the grace of God into lasciviousness.
What verse is that in Jude?
Fourth verse. Jude 4. I think it's Jude 4, yeah. Now, let's backtrack just a little bit. Now, it says here, by faith, Noah was translated that he should not see something.
Death.
Why did God have him, quote, translated, changed, moved, altered, taken out of the way? Because he didn't want what? He did not want Enoch to see the death, the destruction that was going to take place. His son did, right? But he didn't. So God took him out so he would not see death. Now keep that part in mind. He seemed not to see death. And was not found. The word found means you wouldn't find him. He was taken out of the way, like we have the H in Hebrew. It says he just disappeared. What happened to the body of Moses? It disappeared. No one knows where it was at. They couldn't find the body. Now, why did God have that body disappear? What?
Same thing with Yeshua after he, the concept of him disappearing out of the grave. Because if there's a body, it means death and corruption is upon them.
People worship dead things.
They worship dead things.
Yeah, like you.
They literally worship dead things.
Also,
look.
It also could discredit what God did.
Do I have to kiss the boat of somebody? I was in Greece. I went to church on the island of Patmos. And I
They
had me kiss a bone. Everybody had to kiss a bone. It was a, whose bone? It was a bone of a saint.
Antiquity.
In the Hebrew, those are so clean things.
Weird.
And you're dead.
Weird.
And you're
dead. She never came down there. She goes, oh, no, I airbrushed it. Faked it.
Now, does that mean that in the case with Moses, we don't know because it said the body was removed and no one knew what happened to it. It probably decomposed rapidly. That's my assumption. That's the easiest way to get rid of the bones. Just decompose. It's gone. You know? Or open up. Down it goes. But there was no earthquake. It just disappeared. I take a look. Enoch also just disappeared. They don't know where he went. They couldn't find him. And he just disappeared. So I kind of understand the thing about not being found. So you have an idea of a little bit what we're looking at. You go back to Hebrews again for just a moment. I'm going to call it quits here. Because God had translated or had changed him. He took him out of the way so he wouldn't see death. And no one found him. He didn't have to live through that horrible turmoil. You know why he didn't have to live that horrible turmoil? In his beginning of his life, what did he do? Walked with God. At the end of his life, what did he do? Walked with God. That tells you a double thing real quick. That man was well preserved by God. God said, I'm going to take you so you don't have to see what I'm going to do. Your son's going to see. Your son's going to die in it. I believe God talked, says he walked with him. I believe God talked with him. I believe God told him everything in detail. This is why his name is what it is. Enoch. Hanoch. Why he's named that way.